Hello, I'm Clive Chase, and welcome to this special edition of the Sports Journal, where we spotlight the exciting journey of the Victoria Pearls as they gear up for the T20 Global World Cup qualifiers in Abu Dhabi. This edition is dedicated to getting to know the dynamic leader at the helm, Janet Mbabazi, who was recently named the captain of the team. Under her leadership, the Victoria Pearls aim to showcase their talent and determination on the international stage. With a mix of seasoned players and a fresh talent, the team is poised to make a significant impact. Join us as we dive into this exclusive chat with the all-rounder, discussing her new role, the team's preparations, and their aspirations for the tournament ahead. But that will be after these messages.
It's time to build smart with Hardware World. Open an account with Hardware World today and start saving for your future projects. Whether it's a dream house or renovations you're planning, Hardware World helps you save up for the building materials you need. Get on board Zimbane Hardware World. For more details, call 0707-246-744. Hardware World Limited, your partner in building a better future.
Are you a soccer champion at home aged between 3 to 17 years? We at Prosper Soccer Academy offer top-notch soccer training for kids with passion and experience from our coaches. Call us today on 0703-308-030 or 0782-284-054. Email us via prospersportlimited@gmail.com. Prosper Soccer Academy, where every child's soccer dream gets closer to reality.
Okay, Janet, first of all, congratulations on being named the captain of Victoria Pearls. But I love to say the captain of Uganda. How does that sound? Or has it sunk in yet?
Yeah, for me, I'm still letting it sink in. But I think the sooner that I do that, the better. But it is a very big, big role. And I'm super honored to, you know, be able to lead the Victoria Pearls in Abu Dhabi. Mm. So it's a huge opportunity. And, you know, I am just, you know, accepting it slowly and very happy for the opportunity here. Yeah.
Well, of course, some of us usually just get to know about these things through press releases and stuff like that. But at what stage did you know about this, and what was your first reaction?
I think it was Good Friday. A couple of players got, you know, called for, you know, a quick team meeting, like the leadership team and the technical team, and, you know, it's just like to discuss, you know, how, you know, we can, you know, improve on certain things on the team, and, you know, just like reflect on, you know, the positives, also the, you know, the good tournaments that we've had, and, you know, areas we can work on. So, and then during that meeting is when, you know, I found out that I'll be, you know, captain.
And what was your first reaction?
I was speechless. I think I did, you know, did not say anything at all. I remember having, you know, my knees shaking and my hands, you know, and, you know, the manager, you know, just holding me on my leg and just giving me a signal to tell me that it's all right, it's going to be okay. But, and then Kevin, my teammate, looking at me from across the table, and she's like, wow. So, yeah, that was basically the reaction.
And of course, you've been vice captain since 2017, deputizing Akonsi Aoko, the captain of the team. How has that experience prepared you for this role?
First of all, I'm happy that, you know, I was given the opportunity to, you know, be the vice captain of the team. I think it's one of the roles that's it's not talked about much. No, like a lot of people don't put so much, you know, importance to, you know, how, you know, much, you know, the vice captain puts on the team. But for me, I've taken, you know, a lot of, you know, leadership, you know, skills from that. I've been able to, you know, act as a bridge between, you know, the players and, you know, the captain, and also with the technical team as well. So I've, you know, carried all of that, and hopefully I can take that into, you know, the new role that I have.
Mm. Have you and your former captain ever word about this?
Yes. So I'm really, really grateful for, you know, for Konsi, because, you know, she's been such an amazing, you know, captain. You know, we made a very, very good good team as, you know, captain and vice captain. And, you know, I'm just happy, you know, for, you know, the lessons that, you know, we've learned from her. She's a mother. She's one of, you know, the senior players on the team. And there's a lot of things that, you know, we got to, you know, take out from Konsi as a leader, even for the younger players that, you know, are just on the team. So I'm just so happy for, you know, that she was able to, you know, lead us as captain, you know, for the past few years. Yes.
And then Ritam Somali comes in as your deputy. How does she compliment you as captain?
Yeah, congratulations to Ritam Somali. I think we make quite a decent duo, in my opinion. So yeah, I think that, you know, it's opportunity for her to, you know, also just be able to, you know, come out of her bubble and be able to express herself more. And, you know, like I said, we complement each other as well. I think she's a very good player on the team, and she can be with, you know, her batting and sometimes her bowling, there's a lot that she adds on. And hopefully she can, you know, develop her, you know, leadership skills as well, since, you know, in a few years she might be, you know, taking up the role as captain.
Well, of course, all these changes come in at the time when we have the global qualifiers in front of us. I mean, there's a World Cup ticket at stake. The men have already qualified for the T20 World Cup. There's a huge opportunity for the ladies to achieve the same. Of course, in a few days from now, the team will be leaving for Abu Dhabi. Doesn't that amount more pressure on you guys, especially you, the captain, the leader of the team, or it is just a challenge that you feel you can embrace?
I think I've mentioned this a couple of times, and a lot of people you've noticed in the cricket circle outside say pressure is, you know, a privilege. Mm. I'm glad that you agree with me. But, you know, it's like, we're going into the global qualifiers. Obviously, for some of the players, they've been to that stage before. The likes of Rita Musamali, I have been to the global qualifiers before. Konsi Aweko herself, Kevin Awino, she was captain then. Stephanie Nampina, Nachisui Immaculate, they've all been they've been on that stage before. And, you know, before we were just, you know, young players, and we're excited, you know, to just have the opportunity to go and play in the global qualifiers. But now we have, you know, goals, you know, going into the global qualifiers. We see, and now we believe that we can actually make it to the World Cup qualifiers. And thanks to the boys, they've actually, you know, motivated us. We know it's possible for the ladies, and we're not, you know, worried so much, because at the end of the day, cricket is still cricket, regardless of what level, you know, we'll be playing at. It's still the same ball, it's still the same ground, it's, you know, the same thing. It's just, we just have to trust in the process and, you know, use the past experiences that we've had to, you know, try and get better and take the top two spots.
There's a new face, not entirely new, but you could say a new face, as you guys head out to Abu Dhabi, Proskovia Alako. How much does she bring to the team?
So Prosy, you know, if you followed her, you know, since she made her debut on the team, I think in Rwanda 2019, that's when she made her debut against Rwanda. You've seen that she's, you know, a player that's she's very strong. She can hit the ball. She's, you know, she's like the upcoming, you know, top order bat for Uganda. And you've seen maybe I think it was 2022 in Kenya, yes, where she, you know, she still, you know, expressed herself as, you know, top order bat, scoring runs for the team, you know, having, you know, giving the team, you know, a good start, you know, in the power play and all. Even in the elite league, I think it was early last year, 2022, I think, she was, you know, player of the tournament in that elite league. You've seen, you know, a lot of people have so much, you know, hope, and she's got a lot of potential. And we've been having, you know, a little bit of a challenge with our, you know, batting, top order batting, and maybe, you know, having her come back into the setup, maybe we're hoping that, you know, she can, you know, put up a good show and, you know, just help with the top order department. Hopefully, you know, she can, you know, express herself more in Abu Dhabi.
Yes, of course. You guys have had recently trainings in India. Yeah. You participated in the African Games that was in Accra, Ghana. How do you assess the team's readiness for the global qualifiers or ahead of the global qualifiers?
India was amazing. It gave us an opportunity to, you know, to just like stay together as a team. We stayed in a very decent place, in a place called Safale at the Omtext Institute. And, you know, we had time to just like stay together as a team, train together as a team, eat together as a team, basically do everything as a team. It was wake up, you do cricket, you eat and repeat. It's just cricket, sleep, food, whatever it is. It was just basically sleep, that. And you're together. You know, the most important thing is like you're together. And we played 2 games, I think against Zimbabwe, yes, and then 3 against the Omtex team. And we were able to work with certain, you know, the technical team that's in India, that was in India, fielding coaches. We had sessions like psychologists, even, you know, had, you know, physiotherapy sessions and stuff. So basically we had a good, you know, setup down there, you know, helped us, you know, just be able to train and prepare both physically, mentally for, you know, the tasks that, you know, we have in Abu Dhabi.
We find ourselves in a group that has Scotland, Thailand, the USA, then you also have Sri Lanka in there. Which team do you look at and you're like, these ones will be a very hard nut to crack?
My opinion, I think that every team is very unique on their own. Everyone is, you know, quite good. And we are obviously going to take each game as it comes. That's the plan. Take every game as it comes, and then the results will show afterwards. The process first, and then the results will come afterwards. We've had an opportunity to play against Scotland and Thailand before.
In the 2018 Global Qualifiers.
Yes, in the 2018 Global Qualifiers. Obviously, like I mentioned, you know, we were young and we're just excited and happy to, you know, to be playing in the Global Qualifiers. So I remember my first experience, my debut was against Scotland, and I had to walk in with my best friend Rachel to bat, and I had never seen a ball turn that much in my life. You know, I'd never seen a ball turn that much. Like, I still have memory of that particular ball. I got bowled from, you know, she was bowling leg break. Before then, I don't think I really did understand what a leg break was. You know, that's how, you know. Yeah, so for me, I know every team is very unique, and they're coming in, everyone is fighting for the top spot. But all you have to do is just like take every game as it comes, and, you know, just respect every opponent that we have, and just have a good time while we are.
Then USA and Sri Lanka, what kind of opposition do you girls anticipate?
That's a very good question. Right now, I do not know much. So basically, what's going to happen is just like try and study their, you know, playing styles. Sri Lanka obviously is a very good team. They're on the top 10, so Sri Lanka's been playing with South Africa, and, you know, they won like 2 T20s and two games and South Africa, I think, won one. So we've been, you know, watching that and just like studying their, you know, playing styles, and hopefully when we go to Abu Dhabi, we are aware of, you know, how, you know, their top order bats ladies, you know, play, you know, who are their good bowlers, who to watch out for, things like that. So I really can't tell you much except that that's, you know, what's happening. Just being able to study, you know, how the opponent plays. I haven't exactly, you know, met or seen any USA players, but yeah, that's basically what we're going to do for them. Just like also just studying them and seeing how we can, you know, strategize for them when you meet them for the first time.
At least one guarantee we can have is that there will be lots of Asians playing for USA.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. But I mean, when somebody hears things like the top 2 teams qualify for the semifinals, then the semifinal winners qualify for the finals, and then they win or they book tickets to the World Cup in Bangladesh, it seems like it is an easy route to the World Cup. How does that motivate you guys to just try go out there and give your all and make history?
Personally, and I know this even, you know, for my teammates, because, you know, I played with most of them for quite a while. We're in the same high school. We played in under-19s together, I think, and, you know, we started, you know, together. Personally, for me and for you know, the rest of the team, going to the World Cup is basically the reason why we wake up in the morning. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it's why we wake up every morning to go to practice. You know, it's what drives us. I want to play in the World Cup, and I'm pretty sure it's the same dream for everyone on the team. I don't know what it's just that is enough, because do I want to play in the World Cup? Yes. Does that make me wake up in the morning? 100%. So yeah,
then at the World Cup there's an element of playing games under floodlights. You have the games against Scotland and Thailand.
Does that thing bother you? How are you guys preparing for that? Will you have opportunities to have a few try games under floodlights before that? Or
yeah, the thought of playing in the night, obviously the questions of, you know, the chats, the chit chats with the teammates, you know, I've been like, oh, won't I be sleepy? What happens if, you know, things like that. But yeah, we are going to have two games against, is it Vanuatu and UAE? And yes, and I think one game or so where we play in a night game. But obviously, we know we don't have the facility here to prepare for the night games. It would be nice to, you know, go earlier, hopefully, and, you know, have a couple of practices or games in the night. But I don't think it's something that's going to be possible. But we'll work with what we have. We're going to have two games, and we're just going to use that to, you know, prepare ourselves, just like fine-tune our skills while we're there, just get used or comfortable. Hopefully we can have also practice games, not practice games, but like training time, you know, in the night, so that we can just get used to, you know, maybe taking the caches, the dew, all of that stuff.
Then of course there's also that transition, of course, four games, two of them under floodlights, then the other two during the day. I mean, how do you mentally prepare yourself for those different moments?
You know, for the switch, the change to, you know, the normal time, like, I feel like that's going to be quite, you know, easy. It's not going to be so much of a challenge because we'll be going back to, like, normal setting, normal default setup. What we'll just do is, you know, try and study the field conditions, the wicket conditions, you know, the weather, things like that. Just, like, get those right. My coach always is, you know, making us try go to the wickets and look at, you know, what is it, how does a wicket look like, you know, how is the outfield, how, you know, what's happening in your surrounding, you know, before you decide to start playing. So hopefully we'll just keep it as simple as that, just assessing the conditions of the field and just use that going forward. Yeah,
probably a thing or two about the wickets. Are they fast, are they slow? Do you guys know anything about them, or you're not sure which venues are going to be used?
I think that the players have had some time to, you know, do a little bit of research of what, you know, the wickets are doing in Abu Dhabi. Hopefully it's, you know, the right information, that because we've never been there, most of us have never been to Abu Dhabi, so we've been able to just like gather a few information here and there on, you know, how, you know, what the wickets will be doing in Abu Dhabi, and hopefully it helps us.
Probably before we wind up, something I should have asked earlier but I didn't. Lately you've been batting at number 3 as captain. Do you now get to defy coach's orders and probably determine at what number you want to bat, or especially out there and your press, things are not going the way you thought and you're like, no, I think we need to change this?
No, definitely not. It will be so not, I will not be, you know, playing as a, you know, I'll not be a team player if I did that, because I'm pretty sure the coaches, you know why I'm, you know, batting at number 3, and I will never, you know, ask, you know, or, you know, use my, you know, current position or whatever to make, you know, changes on the batting lineup. That's insane. I have to follow the team. I have to follow the team plan, and, you know, just trust that the top two batters, you know what they're doing, and I have a job to do as well. And, you know, the number 4, number 5, number 6, all of those, you know, we all have what we can, you know, the unique things that we bring on, that we can put on the table. And it just has to take me to trust, you know, everyone else on the team to be able to do their job. And, you know,
I don't think it would be fair if we ended this podcast and we've not talked about the project that is the Soroti Cricket Academy. Because even when you look at the setup of the team, there are so many products of Soroti, including yourself. How important has this project been in the development of cricket in Uganda, especially women's cricket?
First of all, a big shout out to, you know, Felix Musana for, you know, starting the, you know, the Soroti Cricket Academy. He's put in a lot of, you know, work, a lot of time, a lot of money, to, him together with his team. team to, you know, just empower girls from the East. And I think that his hard work is finally paying off because, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of, most of the girls on the squad are from sorority, and they will be going to the global qualifiers, which is something that they'll be experiencing for the first time. And we're just happy. I'm happy to be able to just like share this experience with them, and they're going to have a lot of, you know, lots of stories to talk about. But I hope that, you know, a lot of the different hubs around, you know, around the country can, you know, also, I hope they see that, and it motivates all the young girls from the different hubs to also, you know, just try and pick up the sport. And, you know, there's, you know, the lot, most of the girls in the setup, they could have, you know, ended up somewhere else, you know, like maybe having families, or they could have ended up just, you know, not even knowing anything about, you know, cricket or sport, or even, you know, because, you know, we have now the opportunity to travel, and it's something maybe they would never, you know, experience. No, I'm not saying that they would never, but like, you know, get what I mean? Now they're like opportunities here and there, you know, the world now knows about them, and I think it's a privilege. It's a big thing, Sorority Cricket Academy.
And of course, lastly, what message would you like to share with the fans of the Victory of Pearls as you guys embark on this important journey? Hopefully, you return home as World Cup, what do they call them? You return home with tickets booked for Bangladesh.
I don't even know what to say, but I'm really grateful for the Victoria Pearls fans. They've been with us. I cannot forget, you know, Entebbe, because they played a very huge role, you know, in, you know, helping us qualify. And I'm just like, I'm grateful, you know, for their unwavering support. I hope that they continue to support us, and I hope that, you know, they continue supporting us even in Abu Dhabi. And, you know, because if we win in Abu Dhabi, everyone wins, and we can use all the support that we need. And I hope, you know, they just keep doing what they're doing. So, yeah.
Do you think it's fair to end the podcast without giving a shout out to the coaches?
Yes, shout out to Coach Lawrence Sematimba. He's been amazing. We've since 2022, and, you know, I'm just happy to still, you know, have him as, you know, my coach, Dels Mugumza. And
how has it been working with Dels, by the way?
It's been great. It's nice to have, you know, a different mind into the setup, and, you know, just being able to share his knowledge, as, you know, since he's been an athlete like us before. And so it's been such a, you know, good experience for us. Now we also have, you know, another addition to our setup, Coach Sachin, and we're just happy to also have him around. And, you know, having a new coach, you have to adapt, and the girls have been amazing. The Victoria Pearls have been great at, you know, doing that, at like accepting, you know, whoever it is that can give us the support that we need into, you know, our circle. And that's a nice thing. Yeah.
Elaborate more. When you say Sachin, people might think Sachin Tendulkar is coaching Uganda. No, Vajana, thank you for allowing to talk to us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
As we wrap up this special edition of the Sports Journal, we've had the unique opportunity to glimpse inside the minds and hearts of the Victoria Pearls, led by Janet Mbabazi. Their journey to the T20 Global Qualifiers is not just about cricket. It is a story of resilience, teamwork, and the pursuit of excellence. The team's spirit and determination are a beacon for the sports fanatics and upcoming athletes alike. As the Victoria Pearls set off for Abu Dhabi, they carry with them the hopes and dreams of a nation. We wish them nothing but the best as they strive to secure their place in the 2024 T20 Women's World Cup in Bangladesh. Remember to follow our podcast for more stories like these. Until next time, keep pushing those boundaries and making your mark. I'm Clive Chaze.
It's time to build smart with Hardware World.
Open an account with Hardware World today and start saving for your future projects. Whether it's a dream house or renovations you're planning, Hardware World helps you save up for the building materials you need. Get on board Zimbane Hardware World. For more details, call 0707-246-744. Hardware World Limited, your partner in building a better future.
Are you a soccer champion at home aged between 3 to 17 years? We at Prosper Soccer Academy offer top-notch soccer training for kids with passion and experience from our coaches. Call us today on 0703-308-030 or 0782-284-054. Email us via prospersportlimited@gmail.com. Prosper Soccer Academy, where every child's soccer dream gets closer to reality.